Newport readers and listeners to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. Man, it's been a long time. It's been like 2 months since we did one of these. We have been
Feels dodging and
running from hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis,
cyclones,
earthquakes,
chupacabras,
forest fires.
Chupacabras.
Those are real out where I live. Many, many cows have been disemboweled by a chupacabra. Oh, but
I feel like there's all kinds of stuff out in Polk County.
It's Plant City.
Sorry.
Eastern Keysville, Texas.
Sorry.
Don't call me. I'm in Hillsborough still. Anyway.
Yeah, listen, the Buccaneers just won a game. I don't want to hear about no damn fictional animal.
Couldn't even get 40 seconds in without Uncle Stan getting on us.
Jesus.
It must be the regular season.
Uncle Stan's so old he doesn't even buy green bananas anymore. So he doesn't have time for us to screw around. He needs some Buck talk. So that's what we're going to do right now. I'm Mark Cook along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself, Trevor Sikkema. And fellas, it has been a while since we did one of these podcasts, but it also was a while since the Buccaneers' first-team offense and defense got on the football field, 22 days to be exact, since that preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. This has been the longest preseason offseason, I think, in the history of the world. And they only postponed one game, but doesn't it seem like it's been forever since we've had meaningful football in Tampa?
I feel like the first week of training camp, it was like people were like, oh, yeah, I like it, training camp's here. And then that second week of training camp to basically today was like, all right, let's get on with it.
Trevor, it's like you wrote, it's worth the wait. I mean, today was exactly what the Buccaneer fans wanted to see. The Bucs were riding a four-game home winning streak due to the success last year that down the stretch they went 6-2, winning four of those games at home to help propel them to 9-7. And as fate would have it, week one at Miami not to be until week 11 now. So the Buccaneers open up not just their home schedule, but the 2017 schedule here against the Chicago Bears. And boy, what a grand opening it was. 29-7.
Could have been 29-0.
It could have been. Should have been.
That's true.
Thank you, Vernon Hargraves.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he dropped the pick.
DBU.
He's the Jude Ajayi-Bumrima of this game, in my opinion.
But nonetheless,
if they lose out on a tiebreaker due to points and common opponents, it's going to be Vernon's fault. We know that. I'm just letting you guys know that right now.
You're going to go after him. We know you are.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves now. The Bucs are 1-0. And I'll tell you what, this was shades of last year, guys, right? I mean, they had a pick six, although it wasn't Chris Conte this year. It was Robert McClain, the new addition. But just a tremendous showing by the Bucs defense and enough Bucs offense to really put the Bears away early.
Yeah, no. Okay, so you say enough there. Like 29 points, obviously. What are both of your thoughts on the offense going forward? Because I actually wrote, because we do a most impressive and most disappointing after every single game, and in the most disappointing, I actually put Jameis Winston in there. And here's a game-winning quarterback who had no mistakes, didn't turn the ball over, and
right.
I kind of put him as a most disappointing, and they won the game 29-7. I mean, is that fair, you guys
think? Well, I mean, I'm in agreement to a degree, because I think if you ask Jameis Winston, and he was asked about that following the game, Scott and I were down there, he talked about that, you know, missed opportunities.
He said he had to get better.
There's plenty to work on. He's got
to get
better.
Right, yeah.
And the reason DeSean Jackson is here, it's to stretch the field and score touchdowns, and twice he missed an opportunity to connect with him. I think on the second one, DeSean, looking back at it, probably would say I should have had that ball.
Sure.
But the one to Charles Sims, I mean, you've got to underthrow that ball, if anything. I mean, so what? He gets tackled after a 30-yard gain. It's still better than getting no yards for the overthrow and incompletion, because Sims was so wide open.
Yeah.
You could have definitely underthrown that ball and at least got a chunk of yards there. But, again, those are low-percentage passes anyway. But, again, that's one of the reasons why DeSean Jackson is in Tampa Bay wearing red and pewter, is to do exactly that, and Jameis is going to have to connect on those, because the defense is not always going to play as well as they did today.
Holy
They're going to play
cow,
teams a lot better than Mike Glennon and the Chicago Bears moving forward, and maybe even coming up this week against the Minnesota Vikings. So they've got to get better as far as that goes. If you guys hear noise in the background, that's because we're broadcasting live from Raymond James Stadium inside the Gene Deckerhoff radio studio. We went over here and stole the booth. So
it's all open over here? Like
right.
Normally in the press box is like closed, you have the glass in front of you, but Gene has the luxury of hearing the crowd noise and all that stuff, and they have it open for him. So
actually
cool.
We were going to go in one of the other booths, Scott, but I'm not even that. This is a true story. Trevor was complaining about how cold it was.
That's not true.
You know, there's still people
That's
without air conditioning.
True.
No, that is true.
That is not true.
It's true. It's
I said
cold.
It was cold. I didn't say, like, wow, we got to get out of here.
Exactly what you said. It's so cold in here. And you started shivering. And anyway, your knees were knocking, so I was like, okay, we'll go somewhere else. So that's why we're here. And so now you're listening to the blowers of the cleanup crew here at Raymond James Stadium.
It's more authentic.
I'll say this. In terms of shaking and knees knocking, Mike Glennon was that way in the first half. I mean, not exactly the return to Tampa Bay that he wanted. Throwing not one but two interceptions. Quan Alexander started the party, and then Robert McLean had the pick six right before halftime. But then also, you know, we saw a sack fumble from Noah Spence, mm-hmm. his first of the year. Levante David was the guy that that really, I think, picked up from where he left off. He finished last year strong, nine tackles today and a fumble recovery. I was just very impressed with his performance as well. You know, if we're going to nitpick one thing about the defense, it's the fact that, and I'm writing about this in my two-point conversion, you know, Mike Glennon threw the ball 45 times and was only sacked once. Mm-hmm. And, yes, there was some pressure on him, but he still completed 68% of his passes. So a lot of those were dinks and dunks and little quick slants to get the ball out quickly. But I wanted to see more pass rush from the front four, and they didn't get home.
Well, and I talked to William Golson about that after the game, who was obviously very excited with the way the defense played overall. But he said the one thing we've got to do is we got to get to the quarterback. And I asked him, I said, was this a situation where that was kind of the game plan to keep everything in front of them, just rush four, and, you know, just not make any mistakes over the top? He goes, no, that wasn't the game plan. Anytime you rush the quarterback, you want to get there, and we've got to figure out a way to get there. I think the Bears had some max protect going on at times, particularly when they were trying to take some of those deep shots that really didn't pan out. But Glennon, I mean, look, if you can't sack a statue, and that's what Mike is, and we saw it here in Tampa Bay, love Mike, great guy, but he's not mobile. He's not going to escape. If you get around him and get your hands on him, you're going to pull him down. And they didn't do that very often today, and that is a bit of a concern. Let's real quick, I want to go back to what Trevor was talking about earlier as far as the offense and the 29 points. It should have been 40 points. Dirk and Jameis both said the same thing after the game. You know, we got to keep our foot on the gas, and, you know, we can't lose the second half 7-3 like they did. I mean, they've got to be able to finish. That was a word that Jameis used, you know, finish his opponents off.
You know, the Bucs offense had five drives, one of which ended in a touchdown pass to Mike Evans off of a real quick change of possession when Tarik Cohen fumbled the ball. Stupid rookie play on his part.
That was bad. Was a college play. You looked at me and you said, that's a play where you can get away with that in college.
You can get away with that at North Carolina A&T.
You're probably a lot more athletic than everybody else, but in the NFL, if you touch that ball, you're getting hit.
Ryan Smith, smooth criminal, a special teams ace for this team, punched the ball out. Cam Lynch, who also was a hard knock star and made this team on special teams ability, right there to recover. And one play later, Mike Evans has his first touchdown, a 13-yarder. Really nice back shoulder touchdown in the end zone there. And it's funny, too, because when I was talking to Aunt Winston, Jameis's dad, at the Jameis Winston youth football camp up in Land O'Lakes this offseason, that's the one thing that he really wanted to see Jameis and Mike work on, especially with Mike's size being 6'5", is in the red zone, in the end zone, working on those back shoulder fades, and we saw that today, and it was a great connection. The Bucs also punched it in with Jaquizz Rodgers, who had a workmanlike day, over 60 yards rushing, 3.7 yards per carry, and punched it in. But those field goal opportunities, as you guys were alluding to, against teams like the Patriots, that's going to be coming in here, and
even
in
Minnesota
month,
next week.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going to have to get 7 points rather than three.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you totally there. It's just kind of a situation where you look at the game, you look at the scoreboard, and you think how could you really be nitpicking this much? But that's the nature of
that's what Dirk Cutter's going to do.
Well, that's the 2017 season for this Buccaneers team.
That tells us that,
you know,
this is a much better football team. Because if this was Greg Schiano's year and they beat anybody 29-7. People would be jumping up and down just because there was some hope. And now we're critiquing a 29-7, which should have been 29-0, which should have been really 40-0, to be honest with you, you know, win. So
just going to the extremes on both ends.
But you know what? Let's go back to this, too. All week long, rust, right? Everybody talked about rust. Offensively, maybe a little bit of rust, but Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, they picked up right where they left off the last couple years. I mean, these guys, they could probably take a year off and do what they did today.
Seven catches, 93 yards.
Yep. He looked more focused. Okay, remember the drop in Cincinnati that he had over the middle that was just basically like a dude. Like, you're Mike Evans. Yep. You have to catch this ball.
It was a little lackadaisical in his part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember
he looked like a veteran receiver in this game, didn't he?
Specifically, two or three catches from this game where you could almost, like, watch the ball go into his hands, like, even, like, a little bit longer, almost, like, an unnaturally long, to make sure that he wasn't taking his eyes off the ball, to make sure he was catching it.
I agree. And I thought his best reception was the one across the middle right before halftime when they got the field goal, where he had the presence of mind, you know, to know exactly. And this is the thing about Mike Evans as a veteran wide receiver is, you know, he knows where not just he needs to be on the field, but where everyone else is. And he ran right over there. Cameron Brate was positioned with a great block on the sidelines to allow Mike to go out of bounds because the Bucs didn't have a field or didn't have a timeout. And it allowed the Bucs to get a field goal right before halftime. And I thought that was great presence of mind. It was a very veteran move.
It was also god-awful coverage.
You know what was interesting about that play? Jameis said it. This is a play that we've been working on in practice. This specific play for this specific situation where we need a chunk of yards and we don't have a timeout to get out of bounds. Yeah. And he said he's never seen Dirk happier in the 3 years that he's worked with Dirk than he was after completing that pass. Because, again, coaches work on scenarios and different things like this. And sometimes we're at a training camp, we're like, geez Louise, you know, this is so repetitious. Why are they doing this the same thing over and over? And now we see because, again, they won 29-7, but if this was a 13-10 game, that's a huge play in this football game.
I liked Dirk Koetter, and we saw this last year too, so it's nothing new, but I like Dirk Koetter's approach of, you know what, damn it, we've got a couple timeouts, and we've got the ball with about a minute left before halftime. We're going to go get some points.
Hey, you know what? And he learned that from Lovie Smith, because Lovie Smith always did that. Lovie Smith never took a timeout into halftime ever in the history.
He took two timeouts into halftime, and that was one of the biggest reasons I wanted him fired.
Yes, I remember.
And I called for him to be fired because he was wasting possessions. One thing I learned from John Gruden is the NFL average in terms of the number of possessions a team's going to get per game is 12. And you're going to have, on average, two turnovers per game. So that's going to eliminate two scoring drives right there if you average two turnovers per game. So now you're down to 10. If you don't take advantage of having the ball right before halftime, especially with timeouts, and try to get points, then it's down to 9.
Remember, Trevor.
And that's loser mentality when it comes to football. And that's why Lovie Smith is coaching in Illinois and not coaching in Tampa Bay. And that's why he's getting his butt kicked
by USF
in this stadium.
The other night. No?
No, they didn't. They lost.
Okay, well, bunch maybe of I had the score mixed up. But Trevor wrote about their one-minute drill a lot during training camp because they worked on that every single day.
They did,
day.
And it paid dividends.
And they had
today.
A minute 12 left. I think that's what it was. And they got the ball in the 20-yard line. I thought to myself, let's see if Dirk is going to, you know, has the balls to do this, you know, in this situation.
And it's also the confidence he has in Jameis Winston in year three to don't make a mistake, go down there and get points.
What was the score at that point? 26-0?
It had to have been 23, right, because they kicked the
field
goal.
Yeah, that's right, 23-0.
So it had to be 23-0.
Now, again, Chicago gets the ball coming out of the second half. If Jameis Winston throws a pick six from his 20, you know, all of a sudden, who knows what happens in the second half of this game? Because then,
but that's the trust he has in
exactly.
Jameis.
Yep, no question about it.
Well, listen, I wanted to read. I thought this was a tremendous quote. I talked to T.J. Ward after the game. Boy, what a first impression this guy made, right?
First
Trevor?
Play.
Holy Christ! The guy shot
first
up a
play.
Cannon.
First play looked like an All Pro. Like. The first play that he was on the field, because you and I were watching for him, right? We were all game. We're like, okay, you know, he's active. Is he going to come in? When's he going to come in? Comes in the second half, right? He comes in for Conti? Or is it Tandy?
Came in for Tandy.
Okay, so he came in for Tandy, and he's playing.
I want to say it was the second quarter.
Was it?
I think it was late in the second quarter,
but he's playing that strong safety role, and you just see the ball goes to the outside. If it was
pitched to Tarik Cohen.
Yeah, and Tarik Cohen's obviously, you know, his nickname is the human joystick.
He's a fast dude.
And they had two blockers out there swinging with him. And T.J. Ward just looked that much faster and that much smarter than everybody else and just completely blows the play up by himself.
Yeah.
That was his first play as a Buccaneer.
He was so fast. I mean, the guy's been in the league for 8 years. He looked like a damn rookie. He looked like some 20, two-year-old kid that just had fresh legs and all of that.
A 22-year-old kid who knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
So this is what TJ had to say. When I asked him about playing in this defense and today's effort, he said, I've been a part of some great defensive performances. That's obvious. He's coming from Denver.
Super Bowl. Right? Yeah.
I've never been in a situation where we were up 26-0 in my 8 years in the league. We have a bunch of playmakers in this defense, and that's amazing to be a part of. We want to be great, and we feed off of each other. One person makes a great play, everyone else feeds off of it. That energy is just contagious. That's a great thing to be a part of. So I'll tell you what, I mean, you talk about what this guy's going to do for this Buccaneer team in, you know, in the future, and especially against the run. We saw what Mike Smith wanted to do this offseason. He got Chris Baker, a big 320-pounder. We saw Clint McDonald put on 10, 15 pounds to get up over 300 pounds.
And there were a couple plays. There was one where Mark just said to us, why are they running at Chris Baker?
Yeah.
Because there were a couple plays.
Yep.
But I mean,
it was a third and short, and they were trying to run right at
this
guy.
That's kind of the thing. If you have enough beef on the D-line,
right,
you got to run somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Will Golston re-signed. That was a priority, 290-pound defensive end. And so the whole premise was stop the run and become better against the run. That's going to help you on third downs. It's going to help you rushing the passer. And what happens? You've got, you know, Jordan Howard coming in after a 1,300-yard season. You've got Tarik Cohen, who took the Falcons by storm last week. 20 yards on 16 carries. That's an amazing debut for this Buccaneer run defense.
Yeah.
And T.J. Ward, when he's in the starting lineup, is only going to add to that.
Truly.
You know, I owe Will Golston an apology. Because Will Golston, in my eyes, did nothing in training camp.
You owe Jude Ijeberman an apology,
I don't owe
too.
Him anything.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not.
I'm just saying that.
No. No, and I will not fight him now. But when he gets better.
When he gets healthy?
He knows where I am, hopefully.
Does he?
But Will Golston, I just thought, boy, at times during camp and in the preseason games, you kind of even forgot the guy was on the team. Didn't really do a whole lot. He showed up. You know, first play of the game today. I mean, first drive of the game. Five tackles, one for loss.
It's not sexy. It's not flashy.
Right.
But the dude is the best run stuffer on this team.
Yeah, he's an animal when he gets motivated and a good guy, too. But, Scott, you mentioned earlier again, they definitely need to figure out a way to generate more pass rush. Next week, a little bit better opponent. Bradford had the MRI done on his knee this week.
Case Keenum came in.
Who knows what's going to the situation is going to be next week? But they've got Dalvin Cook up there, and they have some decent receivers too. But they're going to. I mean, you can't go, particularly in this division, when you've got the Matt Ryans and the Drew Breeses and the Cam Newtons of the world, and not generate pressure. And I think that's something that Mike Smith has worked on this year. When we saw them run those blitz packages during training camp, I think he kind of realized we're not going to have 4 10-sack guys on this defensive line. But we've got to figure out a way to generate some pass rush. They didn't need to do that today.
You're right. And I do think, Jack B. Smith was inactive. That may change next week. After going back and seeing the film here, they might want to put Smith in there and maybe, deactivate Ryan Russell along that defensive line. But looking at the stats, Case Keenum today in the loss, 26-9 loss at Pittsburgh. The Vikings fall to 1-1. 20 of 37, 167 yards. No touchdowns, no picks, 65.9 quarterback rating.
That's just super pedestrian.
It's very pedestrian.
Either Dalvin Cook's going to burn you or they're not going to score.
Dalvin Cook, 12 carries, 64 yards with a long of 25.
I mean, that's pretty good.
And he had...
How many carries did he have?
He had 12 carries.
I'll be shocked.
Yards.
Well, I guess it depends how the game goes, right? Because if the Bucs get up a certain amount, then you can't really run the ball as much. But if that game's close... I don't think there's any way Dalvin gets less than 12.
How many carries did Murray get in that game? The other running back.
Oh, 3 carries for 6 yards.
So they only really ran the ball 15 times.
Yeah, they didn't run the ball.
McKinnon had 3 carries for 16 yards.
Yeah, it'll be more than that next week, I would guess.
Stephon Diggs was held to 2 catches, 27 yards.
Dang.
Treadwell, 3 catches, 33. Thielen, 5 for 44. Kyle Rudolph led the way with 4 for 45. Their tight end.
Dang.
That's
just a super pedestrian offense.
Well, in Pittsburgh's defense is for real, and we're going to find out next week if Bucks defense is for real, because I wrote in the 2-point conversion after this game, were the Bears this bad or were the Bucks this good? And I think the answer is both this week, but we're going to know more next week when this team goes on the road. And ironically, last year, they won more road games than they did home games. 5 road victories, 4 wins at Raymond James Stadium. So they have that comfortability of going on the road and getting a win. Minnesota is a little bit of a difficult environment up there to win. And right now, at 1-1, the Vikings, you know, they're going to have to – you're in a little bit of desperation mode. You're not like an 0-2 New Orleans Saints team is. But at 1-1, you know, you don't want to be 1-2.
I beg to differ that Minnesota is a tough environment. My sister lives up there. Those people are the nicest people in the world. If they don't even boo their home team, and they'll probably cheer the Bucks if they win. Oh, good job up there, guys. Hey, way to go. I mean, they all talk like that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. They got this one dude with a beard that blows in a horn.
He's a Viking. Dalvin ain't from Minnesota.
What was the Hagar the Horrible? That's who he is.
Is it Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my sister, her purse, she calls it a bag.
A bag up there in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm like, is that your bag? She goes, my bag. That's what I'm saying. I go, no, you're saying bag. But anyway, whatever. So anyway, that's Minnesota coming up next week. You know, real quick, we gave our predictions this week. We all pretty much nailed it. Scott thought it'd be a little bit closer game, which I understand where he was coming from on that deal. We also did our predictions for the entire season. If people didn't check those out, I know last week, you know, people were more concerned about other things than the Buccaneers football team and Pewter Report. We understand that. But, you know, there's a lot of good content up there. Trevor did another Cover 3. Scott had his Fab 5 on Friday. We had daily content from One Buccaneer Place. So go check it out. But one thing that we did is each day, all three of us did a full 16-game season prediction. I went absolutely crazy, according to a lot of people, 12-4. But it's looking pretty good right now, isn't it?
Well, it is. Well, but technically, my 10-6 record is also looking quite good.
Yeah, and Trevor's 7-9 record.
If you want your bank account to look
good,
please
don't put that on me.
And fellas, listen, we're in an age now, and I played it today, and I picked the Bucks for my fantasy defense in all 7 games I played between DraftKings and FanDuel. So I'm going to cash in there. I mean, you looked at that and you said, Mike Glennon versus the Bucks defense. Okay, Bucks defense is going to get some points.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people play fantasy football, but if you really want to win some money and you really think that you know what's what in the NFL.
Put it on the line.
Put it on the line. And the place to do that is mybookie.ag. Now, they sponsor this podcast and with good reason. If you think that you've got a good feeling about a game, put your money where your mouth is. And the place to do it is mybookie.ag. They've been in the business for years. Their reputation is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they've got the fastest payouts. Just 2 business days. So you know who's going to win? Lay down some cash and win big. Whether it's the Monday night game, whether it's next week's games. You know, we're going to be covering the Bucks-Vikings, giving you some inside scoop on that all week long. But you can bet any sports in addition to the NFL on mybookie.ag. I'd recommend them because they've been good to me. I'm going to encourage our listeners to visit mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. They've got also in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business with an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. So join mybookie.ag. They're going to match your deposit with a 100% bonus. Use the promo code Pewter to activate that offer. That's promo code Pewter. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, here's a question for both of you. When's the last time the Bucks won their first home game of the season?
2012.
2012.
Greg Schiano's first win.
2012.
Yeah.
Is the last year that they won their first home game of the year.
Yeah. That was against the Carolina Panthers.
Their 26-0 lead was the 5th largest halftime lead the Buccaneers have ever had.
Yeah.
Scott Smith was just spouting off knowledge from Buccaneers.com.
He does
like
that.
Always.
He does that.
Yeah, that's what he does. So, anyway, anything else we want to talk about? We're going to run a little bit shorter than we normally do. Our post-game coverage, we're going to do this each game or as often as we can. We haven't quite figured out what we're going to do when Trevor's on the road or I'm on the road or whatever. But we'll figure something out.
We're going to have another podcast midweek.
Yes.
After the Bucks.
We're going to start getting, because I know a lot of people have been asking me about this or just asking us in general about getting more regular with podcast schedules. So I believe our plan is to have one immediately following every game, mm-hmm. and then a midweek one, correct?
Yes.
So we're going to do two every week.
Two every week.
Okay. Because, yeah, a lot of people have just been asking.
Except for the bye week. Oh, wait, never mind. No bye week this year.
We already had the bye week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'll say this. This was interesting. This is what Lent McDonald told me, that Dirk Cutter told the team, was there's not 15 more games. There's one more game. And then there's one more game. And there's one more game. Don't look at it as a 15-week schedule remaining. It's a one-week schedule, and that's Minnesota. And if the team has that tunnel vision 1 week at a time, they're going to get through this daunting 16-week schedule. And we can say that from the outside looking in, they're going to get through that okay.
I would probably, if I were Dirk, play these guys the ultimate classic, probably the greatest television show in the history of the world, one day at a time, often. and that would remind him.
I thought the greatest show was Alice.
I thought the greatest show was BJ and the Bear.
These are all great, great things. But
Flipper?
I think it's between it's between the original Hawaii Five-0 with Jack Lord and One Day at a Time. Yeah, we go with One Day at a Time. Anybody
Dude,
our
the
age,
Jeffersons
Scott,
over One Day at a Time.
Valerie Bertinelli in her prime, bro. That was, if you didn't realize you were a man for the first time in your teenage life at that point, then something's wrong with you.
I kind of liked Lisa Welch. Didn't she play on Facts of Life?
You take the good, you take the bad, yeah. You take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Yeah. Actually, I liked Alyssa Milano the best.
Yeah, she wasn't bad either. Yeah. Trevor has no idea who we're talking about.
I don't know
yeah.
who any of these
He's like, that
are.
Doesn't sound like Selena Gomez that I listen to on a regular basis.
There you go.
Or yeah. the new Taylor Swift song. Hey, we want people to check out our feature followed also by sponsored by Ford's Garage, our thing we do every week during the season, the fifth down column, where we take five random questions for Buccaneer fans, Buccaneer players, and talk to them about what they're like off the field. We've got one with Adam Humphreys. We're going to be doing one with Jameis
yeah,
Winston
that was a good
this
one.
Year.
Yeah,
you know,
those are
it's,
fun.
It's
those
fun,
are a lot
lighthearted
of fun.
Stuff, and you know, check that out if you will. This week, of course, tomorrow, Dirk Cutter will be speaking. The players will be off. There won't be any open locker room access for us. Tuesday,
Victory
they're
Monday,
off.
Right off the bat.
That's right. And then Wednesday, Thursday, the heavy days in one Buccaneer plus place, then a little bit easier on Friday. So that's going to kind of be the schedule moving forward. But we'll definitely have another podcast a little bit later in the week.
Pewter Nation, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 1-0.
Exactly. 1-0. It sounds good. It feels good. Of course, they were 1-0 last year and ended up 9-7. But this year has a different feel for it. Look, if this team stays healthy, you know, I predicted 12 wins. I'm not sure they'll get there, but they're only 11 away.
Dude, you wrote it. You got to stick to it.
Just like Dirk
Cutter
says.
Don't say you don't know if they're going to get there. You wrote it.
Own it.
You did.
You hit publish.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So
of course, I had you proof it first, though. So if there's any error, blame
you got to stick by it, because if you are right, you can rub all our faces in it.
That's right.
Oh, and
you know,
I will.
If you give us the whole like, oh well, you know, maybe all year, then I'm not gonna take your trash talk seriously.
All right, everybody, go check out mybookie.ag. Is that right, Scott?
You got it.
For
Nailed
all
it.
Of your betting needs on all sports, not just football. Make sure to check them out. Use the code
Pewter.
That we have Pewter, and they'll help you out on matching on some different things. So make sure to check that out. Check out Pewter Report. Often, we're also on Instagram, we are on Twitter, and of course, we have a Facebook page to keep up with all things Buccaneer news. Make sure to check us out. I'm Mark Cook, signing off for Trevor Sickema and Scott Reynolds. We'll see you on another day later this week, probably Wednesday. We'll be at One Buccaneer Place. We'll probably knock out another podcast. Thanks for listening.